Yalla, b'chavod. Let's hear our maisa.
So, I'm just saying it's impossible to find a Sassana story. Whoever goes next week, just good luck. There's literally one story on the internet. I just pulled it last week.
The Gera Rebbe?
It's five times the Gera Rebbe. Or third Gera Rebbe?
Yeah.
Anyways, so, I tried to ask my dad if he had any stories, and he found me something. I don't know which Sassana safer he found it in, but story goes, also related to wartime, because apparently there aren't any other Sassana stories that exist. So, this is the Russian-Japanese War. At the end of Sassanus' life, I believe it was 1905, 1904, something like that. And all of the Talmidim were being drafted. And unlike the story that, Emerson told, Sassanus wasn't able to tell any of the people, like to get them out of it. And he was giving them bracha and saying you should be safe and whatever, but they had to go. And so one Talmud came and said, Rebbe, I'm very, very worried. I don't know, I'm not going to keep Shabbos, Kashrus. I'm worried I'm going to like lose my connection to the Jewish people and to Yiddishkeit. What should I do? And Rebbe told him that it's not the rest of that stuff. It's very important, but you'll try your best. And if you can't, then you can't. But one thing you always must make sure you do, and that is when you're davening, make sure that you're having your kavana and you're trying your best to face towards Yerushalayim. And through that, you'll be connected to all the other Jews.
Wow.
That's all I got. Also discovered that apparently my Elta Zeta learned with Sfasemis. In, yeah.
That's huge. Yeah,
apparently.
Unbelievable. Shkarach. Wow, what a story. Okay, guys, I'm Emir Teshem. I've been looking. There is a biography that exists, not on the Sfasemis, but on the Gera Rebbes, like two or three of the last Gera Rebbes. And so I'm trying to get my hands on it. Apparently it's out of print. So if you guys see it in any of the Sforim stores, buy it, and I'll buy it from you or whatever. You know, like trying to learn more about the Sfas Emes this year, huh? Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Okay, then you can keep it. Okay. So I really apologize about the Makoro situation. I tried. There's some sort of Siyata Dishmaya, which Hashem didn't want us to have Makoro sheets. So we're trying to combat that Siyata Dishmaya with our phones. Okay, so I sent the Makoros on the phones. The Tanai is better off if you're going to look at your phone and just like WhatsApp like and stuff. Better off not to use the phone. Put the phone away. I'll try to be as engaging as possible. If you want to use the phone, you want to see the Lashon, I totally get that. Just put your phone on airplane mode. That's what I did also. Okay, my phone's on airplane mode. And we're going to try to learn now. Okay? There are two Torahs that we're going to learn this week, and one of the Torahs is similar to something that we've spoken about this year already. But the Sfas Emes speaks about it so much this week in so many pieces that as I was going through it, I said, look, we learned this Inyan the first week, so why does the Sfas Emes keep on saying? He keeps on drilling it in, and it's the season. It's the season, and Parshas Kisavo is in the season to speak about tshuva. So we're going to try to see one idea from tshuva, which sort of spoke about, but maybe we'll see a different aspect of it. And let's Dafka start off with not that one. Okay. So the first nekuda is also something an Indian Chassidus, which we're going to basically see all year long, expressions of this one idea in different ways. I was speaking to guys about what you know, guys are starting to think about getting on the bandwagon of Shnai Mikra. Shnai Mikra is so important because you like live in the Parsha. The Parsha every week is like telling you something, screaming out, read me. Because as the Alter Rebbe said, a Jew, whether you're reading the Parsha or you're not reading the Parsha, a Jew lives with the Parsha. It used to be that it was every 3 years that the we would finish the cycle, but now every year we have this chus to live throughout the parsha. So let's take a look at this first idea. First idea is commenting on the pasuk, "Vo nasan Hashem lachem leiv ladas ve'inayim ve'oznayim lishmoa." Hashem did not give us a leiv ladas. What is a leiv ladas? Anyone who's in Tanakh, we spoke about this a little bit. Shlomo asks for, also, a lev lishmoa. Usually a heart is not something that hears. And aliv ladas sounds like a little bit of a dichotomy, right? What is the lave usually? The lave usually you feel, and the das is you know. So what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us a lave ladas? So says the Sfas Emes the following. Vikasha, he asks a very simple question. Kidor Hamidbar hu dor dea. We know that the Dor Hamidbar was called the Dor Dea. What does the Dor Dea mean? That they were the greatest they were the greatest knowledge, that generation, the knowledge of Torah that they had was unbelievable. Right? They knew so much. They just sat all day long. What did they do in the Midbar? Besides for complain. When they weren't complaining, what were the Jews doing? They were learning Torah. That's what they were doing. They were the Dor Dea. So says the Sfas Emes, I don't understand. How does the Pasuk tell us, after 40 years in the desert, V'lo nasan Hashem leiv ladas? What about the Dor Dea? V'kasha ki Dor Hamidbar hu Dor Dea sha'om du'al har Sinai. They were makabel the Torah, these people. Ach lo k'siv lo nasan lachem das. But the Torah does not say that you didn't have das. What the Torah says is that you didn't have a leiv ladas. Says the Sfas Emes, Rak hakelim leiv ve'inayim ve'oznayim. Ki bevadaik she'amdu al har Sinai, hayu kmo bli guf, kmo shekasuv nafshi yatsa bedabro imo. So the Jewish people at har Sinai, they were totally neshamos. Neshamos, legamri. Why were they neshamos? Because they heard Dvar Hashem, and it was too overwhelming for them, right? They had what is called in the world of Kabbalah a kalos hanefesh. What's kalos hanefesh? When your neshama leaves you, it's the light is too strong. Right? It's too strong. So they experienced a life which was bli guf. So at Har Sinai they were bli guf. K'mo shekasuv nafshi yatzah bedvaro. V'heim mamesh dor deya bli guf v'tikon haguf. Nitan livnei Yisrael k'shenichnesu le'eretz Yisrael. The Dor Dea was the Dor Dea. Why? Because they didn't have to be osek in what? Their guf. They didn't have to be osek in gashmias. Right? Why didn't they have to be osek in gashmias? Tell me why. Kadosh Baruch Hu what? Gave them everything. Everything. Starting from breakfast, lunch, dinner, laundry. They didn't have to send them. They didn't have to send their clothing to laundry. They'd walk through the Anane HaKavod, and they'd come out smelling like, Hugo Boss. Right? They had everything mamish. Everything they wanted. If they wanted steak, it tasted like steak. If they wanted ice cream, they had everything. So they didn't have to be focused. They didn't have to have the distractions of the guf. And when did they have the distractions of the guf? Says the Sfas Emes. That was only when the tikkun haguf only came to Am Yisrael when they go into Eretz Yisrael. Now remember, what is all of Sefer Dvarim, guys? What is Sefer Dvarim?
It's like advice for telling.
Right? It's Musar. We're going into Eretz Yisrael tomorrow. It's one day. Sefer Dvarim happens in one day. One speech, two speeches, four speeches. I don't know. It was the biggest sheer klali ever. I'm sure it was pretty rough. Guys were probably falling asleep. Okay, maybe that was a little bit of the trouble. But there are. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, we're going into Eretz Yisrael, and we're changing gears right now. Until now, you lived a life of kulo neshama. A life of kulo neshama. Right? That's what you were at Har Sinai. You were bli guf. You didn't have a tikkun haguf. But when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, however, what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael?
It's
going to
be harder.
It's going to be harder. It's going to be a lot harder. Why? Because there's no more man. And there's no more Anonei HaKavod. And there's no more Bear Miriam. And there's no more... How do the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael? Jews live in Eretz Yisrael through agriculture, through working, through the Avoda of the Guf, right? Avodas HaAdama. So for 40 years, the Jews were in Kolel. And now they're told that Lo Nastan Hashem Leiv Ladas. What does Leiv Ladas mean, says the Sfas Emes? Sfas Emes means Yev Das. But you don't have Lev Ladas. So what's Lev Ladas? Take a look at what he says. The Haklal Shakarish Baruch Hu Nasan Livnei Yisrael Beis Elu HaDvarim Torah HaKdosha Shemilamedes la Adam das ich letzis michomer haguf vegashmias. There are two aspects that we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in life. The first thing is called Torah HaKadosha, or what I would like to call Toras HaGolos. Toras HaGolos. What is Toras HaGolos? Toras HaGolos teaches us how to relieve myself of my body, right? To shoot beyond. Torah, when we think of Torah and Kedusha, what do we think of? We're being poresh from this world. Poresh, where do we get Har Sinai? From the Torah, from up above. Torah comes from a high place. In order to get to that high place, I have to raise myself up. I have to elevate myself. And what's keeping me down? What's keeping me down is my guf, is my gashmias. All of those things are keeping me down. So the first avoda which Am Yisrael had was the avoda of the kolo, was the avoda of the midbar for 40 years. The Eretz Yisrael, however, says the Sfas Emes, the Eretz Yisrael ubeis hamikdash he lekarev hagashmias vechomer haguf gam kein elakdusha lios chibur haneshama vehaguf biyachad. Says the Sfas Emes, what is Eretz Yisrael all about? What is the Beis HaMikdash all about? What is the Beis HaMikdash when we think about it? What's the Beis HaMikdash? It's not only for a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Beis HaMikdash is a Makom HaChibur. It's a place of connection. Connection of Shemayim and Aretz between Guf and Neshama. So until now, what was the Avodah of Am Yisrael to totally be Neshama? Kulo Neshama. They knew that when they were going into Eretz Yisrael, it was going to be a whole different avoda. It was going to be tikkun haguf. And not only tikkun haguf, but tikkun va'aliyas haguf. So that our guf, that our Beis HaMikdash, that our Eretz Yisrael, there will also be Kedusha there. Right? It's like training wheels. At first, I have to totally be dependent on my neshama. I need to totally absolve myself from this world. But the avoda of Eretz Yisrael, the avoda of Eretz Yisrael is dafka to be very, very indulged. Very, very indulged into chomrias, into gashmias. The Alter Rebbe, who his birthday was just 2 days ago in Chai Elul, so the Alter Rebbe mentions that the chait of the Meraglim, what was the chait of the Meraglim? They were great tzaddikim. I'm sure when we get to Parsha Shlach, Sfas Emes says something similar to here. What was the Avera? What was it about? Does anyone know what the Alter Rebbe says about what the Aveir of the Meraglim was?
They wanted to stay in the desert.
The Meraglim wanted to stay in the desert. Why did they want to stay in the desert? According to this idea. They had everything. They had Chaye Haneshama. They had everything they wanted. They could just learn and sit and not be bothered. And not have to farm, and not have to plow, and not have to harvest, and not have to deal with this. It reminds us of the Gemara that people often quote on Lag BaOmer. Famous machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael about how much Torah a Jew needs to learn. Right? It's a Torah that we spoke about a little bit. Is that if a person is harvesting when he's harvesting, and planting when he's planting, and watering the plants, and all these things, Torah Mati Allah, when is a person going to learn Torah? So the Meraglim, Dafka, because they were tzaddikim, they said, what the heck? I don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is holy, Eretz Yisrael is great, but I can't do that. I want to stay out here in the oasis of spirituality. Right? So says the Sfas Emes, these are two nekudas, two bechinos, which each of us have. We have the avoda of the avodas haneshama, in which, in order to connect to Avodas Hashem, we have to be able to remove ourselves from this world a little bit. But at the same time, in order to do it well, in order to do Avodas Hashem ad hasof, what do we also need? We also need to be involved in this world. And this is dichotomy. Because in some Hasidic writings, in some Hasidic literature by the Alter Rebbe, you'll see very often that they'll dafka speak about this world as being, right? Eretz Yisrael on the Beis HaMikdash is being the more ideal situation. The Sfas Emes over here isn't choosing sides. He's saying there's a reality in which what? There's a reality in which that the more that we get involved with physicality, what's going to happen to us? We're right, but before that, what's the sakana? What's the danger? It's not only a danger, it's just the way that we see life. Okay, when we leave, let's make this a little bit practical. You guys just got to yeshiva, or some of you just got to yeshiva. So, like, the concern is that when you leave yeshiva, when you leave the midbar, what's going to happen? So then you start, it's Avoda and YU and university and this and that and Tikkun HaGuf, and you start thinking about Parnassah, and you start thinking about this, and you start thinking about that, and then what are you left with? Maybe, you know, you're doing Hava Shnayim Mikra. You're doing Echad Mikra. You know, like, you're left with nothing because, like, you were so enveloped and so invested in Torah that you weren't able to make the connection between Torah and Avodah, between Torah's Chutz La'aretz and Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Let's continue. And he says, Kmo shekasuv, ki tavo untatem, v'zeh tikun haguf haya chaser lahem kodem bi'as ha'aretz. And therefore, what was chaser? What was lacking? What does Moshe say? Lo ayalachem lev ladas. You guys knew, you had das, you had Torah, but you didn't have the lev ladas. What's the lev? The lev is the gashmias. The lev is the way, the feeling of that what? That I can connect these worlds. That I can elevate this world. V'chein ata begalus. Sheyishir lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTorah HaKadosha. What is left over in Galus? We're left over with Torah. We have Torah. U'Beis HaMikdash ein lanu. But we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So this is Sfas Emes. The only way that we could be successful in Golos is through what? Is dafka through getting away from Gashmias. Because we're not ready for that yet. We don't have that Beis HaMikdash. We don't have that Chibur. We don't have that Eretz Yisrael. It's this dichotomy. It's at the same time I understand that there's these two kochos within me and I have to figure out how to balance them, but there are constantly going to be times in which it's like a seesaw. It's a seesaw. Because are we in Golos? We're in Golos, but do we have Eretz Yisrael? We have Eretz Yisrael. Do we have a Beis HaMikdash? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're like in this like middle zone where the Bali Chassidus and even the Bali Machshava and the Bali Musar even speak about the value of being Mekadesh the Guf. But at the same time, there's a big stop sign. Slow down. Make sure you're not getting carried away with it. Because if it's carrying you away from if you're doing it because you want to be involved, let's just take a case for a second. Okay? You're sitting down on a Shabbos right after Shabbos Kiddush, you know, right after davening. And you sit down and you have a l'chaim and you say like, "Oinig Shabbos," and you make a l'chaim. That's beautiful. You have a piece of herring. Have a little bit of. You have a little bit of a cracker. You have a little bit of a this. It's beautiful. But then comes out the next course, and then the next course, and then the next course, and you gotta hit up every. The guy who's hitting up every kiddush, kanireh, is not doing it because he's saying that it's oinig Shabbos at each step. Right? It could be that he is. I mean, I don't know, like in his kid. But probably not. Right? So it's this balance. And there's no real answer. The real answer is that always, and I think that, take a look at what he says. He says, "Val beiz elo habchinos mevakshim shiyibane beis hamikdash v'sein chalkeinu besor asecha." Why do we say, shiyibane beis hamikdash mimhera v'ameinu v'sein chalkeinu besor asecha? Because we're asking for both of those things. We're asking for balance. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us find the balance between giving us our Torah, giving us our neshama, and giving us our tikkun haguf. Ve'im beiz ha'oso shetzarech lios b'chol ish Yisrael bris mila v'tfilin u'b'shabbos kodesh mila v'shabbos k'mo shekasuv v'chazal. We're not going to get into that right now. He says that's also the inyan of Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. Shkorach, thank you so much. That's the inyan of Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. Why is, can anyone think of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, why that's an expression of this? How does Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh connect to Gashmias and Ruchnias?
Torah Shebaal Peh is more spiritual than Torah Shebichsav. It's more laid out
halacha. Ah, so, okay, okay. What else?
It's the opposite. It's more lemaisa. It's more for this world. Tosha b'sav is kind of like, it's not brought down. The Gemara, the Baal Peh brings down the chesed to this world. So that's
let's think in terms of the tnua, of the movement. Where does Tosha b'sav come from? It comes from Hashem. It's something which is given to us. Shekibol Torah Miss Sinai. It was given to us. That's what Torah is. That's what Kedusha is. Kedusha is given to us. But then there's another Avodah. What is Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh is that we take the Torah and we take the reality in which we live in and we create something. Torah Shebaal Peh continues to develop. It continues to develop because we develop it. Torah Shebaal Peh is our tenuah. It's the movement coming from down up. So the Gemara says there's a whole Tanurosh Alachnai. Anyone knows the story? Tanurosh Alachnai, we're not going to get into it right now. The end of the Gemara over there says that, the Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim he, right? A Baskol comes out and says that he's right. And the Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim he, no, 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 no. I don't care, the Baskol comes. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say at the end? He was happy. And what does he say? What's the Lashon? Nitzchuni Banai. Nitzchuni Banai, my children, they won. What does that mean, they won? They created something. So how does this connect to the neshama and the guf? The neshama is something that we get. It's like that magnet which is always bringing us up. Something HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. But it's not necessarily something that we're like creating. We're not creating that kedusha. What can we create? We live in a world of guf. So we're creating those opportunities through our experiences. So Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Beis HaMikdash, Torah Eretz Yisrael, and Torah Chutz La'aretz. These two aspects of living in a world, understanding the challenges of what's going to come, also understanding the opportunity, but not choosing one side. It's not choosing one side. It's the constant, it's living with the dichotomy. And living with that so that I can always remind myself that, like, if I'm getting too sucked in, so it's time to retract a little bit, right? And if I feel like I'm too up in Shemayim and my feet aren't connected to the ground, so then I realize that it's time to come down. And with this, we'll finish up this piece, is that it says that Yaakov sees the sulam, right? He sees the ladder, and what's unique about the ladder? What's the description of the ladder? Sulam mutzav arza. Virosho migia hashamayim. A Jew should always live a life in which his feet are on the ground and his brain is in shamayim. That's the chibur. That we should always be able to live in these two worlds. That's the first Torah. Let's see the second Torah. Okay. Bikurim. I feel like that's all I've been learning about this week. When I tell you guys that, like, Bikurim, I tell you guys that, Mamish, the Torah we live with, that's the only Torah I've been hearing about this week. It's also, like, the most geschmack mitzvah in the entire world. It's hard for us to connect to a little bit because we're not farmers, but imagine, like, giving over. You're a gardener?
Yeah.
It's the greatest thank you in the world. It's the greatest recognition of that Hashem cares about me and that I care about him. That's amazing. Okay. So let's take a look. Says the Sfas Emes, Mitzvahs Bikurim, Haya Achana L'Rosh Hashanah. So I say I chose this one because we're in the Achana for Rosh Hashanah. What's Achana for Rosh Hashanah? Ki hi ma'atzeres arachag. Because we know that just halachically, the mitzvah to bring Bikurim is between Atzeres until the Chag. Umistama rov bikurim hayakodim Rosh Hashanah. Most of the bikurim, says the Sfas Emes, was probably brought before Rosh Hashanah. Sha'achar hasof miperos Hashanah hayu machzirin hareishis laHashem yisbarach v'huis dabkus achris hadavar bereishis aso. What's the value of the beginning? Why not come and give the best fruits? Do you know, guys, I'm not a farmer, but this is what they say. The first fruits are never the best fruits. That's also part of the reason why Orla. We can understand some of the mitzvahs that are connected to the tree. Because Baruch Hu says that you have to wait a few years until you can have the fruits. The fruits of the first years are never the best ones. So why not wait until what? I have the most geschmack pomegranate. I'm going to bring that to Hashem. What's the inyan of?
It's not one of Bikurim. Right? It's from where we started.
Right. So what is this idea of Bikurim? So let's take a look. He says, "Hayu machzirin hareishis la Hashem yisparach vuis dabkus achris hador bereishis aso." So let's understand what he means. Lachein habikurim nikraim reishis. Va'amru chazal. What does reishis mean? Bereishis bara bishvil mitzvas bikurim. A wild midrash. The midrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for what purpose? For the mitzvah of Bikurim. What could that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for a lot of things. For the mitzvah of Bikurim. Okay, let's continue. Kizek kiyom ha'olam. Mashem me'orurim tamid reishis hakoach sheba mehashem yisparach. Because the mitzvah of Bikurim helps to continue and be makayim the world. That when we remember the beginning of something, and we remember the koach that we have from those beginnings, that comes from Hashem. Lachin haisa ha-mitzvah achar shebo le'eretz Yisrael, yizkeru ha-reishis she-Hashem Yisbarach, hotzianu me-mitzrayim va'asol lanu nisim ad she-evienu le'eretz Yisrael, shu-tachlis ha-tikun. This connects a little bit to the first Torah. A Jew got to Eretz Yisrael finally after 40 years. The first year is very, very hard. Very hard. They're farming. They're thinking, what the heck? What is like all of this have anything? But then he remembers, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Why? So we can be an Or LaGoyim. Where? In Eretz Yisrael. So what do we do in the Vidui Bikurim? What do they say? We go over all of Jewish history. Arami Oved Avi. And we go through an Avram Yerad Mitzrayim. And we say this by the Haggadah, by the Seder. Why do we say these psukim? Why do we say these psukim by the Seder? Because this is Kiyom Ha'olam. Bikurim reminds us of the beginnings. Why are the beginnings so important? Bereishis Bishvil Mitzvahs Bikurim. It's a weird thing. So there's another drasha, which I don't think this Fas Emes brings here, but it's a very famous one. Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Bishvil Reishis. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Bereishis. We should know this is the koach of humans, is to what? Constantly be able to go back to what? To Reishis. Whatever that racious means for you. Whatever the racious means for you. Now, everyone has that beginning. Everyone has that original Nakuda. The original Nakuda for us as a nation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the Neshama. We say it every single morning. Neshama shenasata bi tehorahi. But now, not so tehora. But if we remember that just a certain amount of years ago it was tehora, then what that could give us the koach to change. To return to that. That's the whole idea of tefillah. It's the whole idea of tefillah. The whole idea of tshuva. You guys don't have it here, but on the next piece, in the next year, he says another midrash. Sfas Emes had this koach. First of all, he knew like all the midrashim in the world. It's unbelievable. He quotes a midrash Tanchuma. He says, Ra'ah Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Shabikurim Asidim Libatel. He saw that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and therefore, what did Moshe do? Tikein gimel tefilos bechol yom. He's mitakei tefillah. Three tefillos every single day. Why? Ki mitzvas bikurim hu latet hareishis la'borei yisbarach, v'ayidei ze nimshach hakol achar ashoresh. Because what's the idea of tefillah? The idea of tefillah, ideally, is that three times a day, not only one time a day can I start over. I can start over two times a day. I can start over three times a day. I say the same brachos. Hashiveinu avinu l'sorasecha. We say slachlanu three times a day. three times a day. Why do you have to say it three times? He already said Tachnun once by Shah. You have to say it by Mincha also. It's the belief that what? Ata Hayom. So we spoke about this. The first Torah that we learned together was about his Chajos. About being able to believe in the fact that we can start over. And honestly, there are days in which I just feel like I started off my day the wrong way, or I started the week off the wrong way. And very often we'll tell ourselves, let's just get to the end of the week, or we'll start the next cycle. Okay. But Bereishis, Bikurim, Tfila, Tshuva, it's all about now and recognizing now. So let's just go back to that Torah that he was saying. Vata. And he says another raya, and with this we'll finish up. Part of the vidui bikurim is what? Va'ata. He says, what does va'ata mean? And now. Va'ata hevesi. Right, what's the lashon on the pasuk? Anyone know? Va'ata hevesi reishis pri adama. And now he's standing in front of the kohen. What does he have to say? He has to say, and now I brought it? He's here. Of course you brought it. I see it. You have the basket. We're about to do this weird spiritual thing. I'm going to shake it around your head a few times. What do you have to tell me? And now I brought it. Va'ata. Va'ata. Va'ata lashon tshuva. Chazal tell us millions of times. Why is va'ata and now called a lashon of tshuva? Why? Anyone have any idea? Why va'ata? What is va'ata? What does now have anything to do with tshuva? I can do it now. What's the biggest Yetzirah in the world?
Procrastination.
Tomorrow. Right? Weren't we talking about this? Amalek. Amalek always in the Torah and in the Navi also is what? You guys know the first time that Am Yisrael goes against a war against Amalek?
They attack from behind.
They attack from behind, but the Lashon always is Machar. Machar tzei hilachim ba'amalek. Moshe tells Yoshua to go and fight them tomorrow. Amalek's koach is to tell you, not atah. You can do tshuva tomorrow. Do tshuva when Yom Kippur comes around. Do tshuva, you know, like, especially we pass Sukkot, and now we're told that the only time we can do tshuva is like in a year from now. Says the Torah, v'atah, and now I brought my bikurim. Now I brought my bikurim. Now I brought my tshuva. Bikurim is tshuva. It's recognizing that I can go back to that nekuda. It remembers that I can have this tzchachos. V'ata hinei yevesi, v'ata lashon tshuva shevada achar asagas ha'emes, tzrichim lashuv b'tshuva ki ikar ha'tshuva yisdabkus bereishis. So why do we read this parsha, kisavo? Why? If we said that the Alter Rebbe tells us that we're living through the parsha, so why now? Why kisavo do we always read in Elul? We always read this mitzvah of Bikurim because Bikurim is tshuva. Bikurim is tshuva. Bikurim is our neshama. If we connect the two pieces, what was the first piece about? Us connecting the world of Gashmias and Ruchnias. Very often what happens is we fail at that. It's our entire life. Our entire life Nisayon is trying to do that. And what happens to a person is when you fail once, you fail twice, you stop trying. Va'ata hevesi. And now, today, tshuva, today. Sheish lema koach lisdabik tamid bereishis. And that's why Am Yisrael is also called Reishis. Yirmiyahu calls Am Yisrael shenikru Reishis tvuaso. Vaynu sheish lema koach lisdabik tamid bereishis. That means that all of us, part of our neshama, part of our DNA is called Reishis. That means that we all have that koach. So the two pieces we spoke about is what? Understanding the dichotomy of Daliv Ladas. Yeah, the Jews knew a lot in the desert. They knew. They experienced the world of Neshama. And the Chet of the Meraglim was that they wanted to stay in that place. They couldn't imagine what it meant. How much Kochos HaNefesh it would take to go into Eretz Yisrael. But that's the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash. Torah of the Beis HaMikdash. The blood, the grossness, the Trumas HaDeshen, the gross things, the Avoda. But that's where Avodas Hashem is. In the pits, in the bottoms. But at the same time, it's this constant dichotomy that we're fighting with. Because every time that we give to one side, the other side's going to get weaker. And it's something that we have to constantly live with. And the second thing is about tshuva, his chadshus, Bikurim. Even if we fail the first time, the second time, the third time, I'm sure we're going to see this inyan of Ischachus. Literally, if you guys were to look, you could look in the Sfas Emes on this week's parsha. He probably mentions the word Ischachus and Rishus like 500 times. So he's screaming out at us. So we did this idea, but we're going to continue doing this idea. Doesn't mean that you're a failure. Doesn't mean anything, and doesn't mean that the Sfas Emes is trying to give us chizuk. He's not giving us chizuk. He's just telling us who we are. We are racist. It's not like a nice schmooze. It's not like a nice, like, feel better about yourself. Like, you know, so just like a cherry on top. Oh, you're okay. You know, like, you're all right. No, that's not what it is. It's the Torah. The Torah tells us, Bikurim, we are racist. So, good Shabbos, guys. Have an amazing Shabbaton.